uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Wednesday night into Thursday morning, the 24th of August into the 25th of August, 2011. And boy, we are right in the heart of all kinds of stuff going down right now, and theories are flying, and people are throwing stuff around, and disinformation's flying around. I as I talked about on the show last night, I'm pretty well set in what I believe all this is, and boy, there's been a lot more evidence has come to my attention since last night's show that go a long way towards what I've been saying about this. This whole situation with these nuclear plants and earthquakes and all this stuff being very interesting stuff. So we'll get into that tonight. We're on the show as well. Love to have emails from you during the show, live show, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you've got things that you want to send in during the broadcast, questions, comments, things like that, you want to hear me talk about during the show, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And I'll do my best to get into those for you here on the broadcast tonight on the show. Thanks for joining us. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. That's theglobalreality.com. You'll find the links to listen to the show and the chat room and all my films and video clips I've done. And you can, we're working diligently to get the Secret Right out. Secret Right Volume 2 out very soon. My newest film. And I'm working on being able to get that out probably within the next month or so. Definitely before October 1st and sometime in the next month. Working feverishly to get that done and trying to get all the best info and stuff in there. And so you can also pre-order copies of it there if you want to pre-order a copy of it. And we also have the chip in banner, the donate button. We've been kind of slow on donations for the past week, so we do need some support right now. So if you can go to the website, theglobalreality.com, and use the chip and banner, the donate button, please support our work this week. Because next week's our fundraising week for the week to raise the money for the bills for the month. And this week's been kind of, this week's been kind of slim. So we definitely need some support right now. We set a goal this week for $100, whatever. But either way, we just need some support right now. So please donate at our website, theglobalreality.com, so we can keep going forward. Because we're on the slim side of the funds, and we our listenership has gone up and everything's gone up. It continues to go up, but then our support doesn't go up, and I've seen this continuing trend. So a lot of people have suggested I do pay, I make do subscription stuff and maybe even go to a network format where it's all pay and no, nothing's for free. I don't know. A lot of people have suggested that, but I don't really want to have to go that route. So please, do your part to keep us from having to go that direction. We had more apparent earthquakes in Virginia, which they're calling aftershocks. But at the same time, the U.S. Geological Survey has come out and said that yesterday's earthquake may have actually been a pre-shock. I mean, that very well could be an indicator for something that's going to happen much larger. Now, it's interesting when you look at the U.S. Geological Survey, the amount of earthquakes there's been. I posted a link in the chat room earlier. The amount of earthquakes there's been in the last 24 hours has been insane. A swarm. I mean, every area of California in the past 24 hours has been an earthquake. There was one in Oklahoma as well, or two in Oklahoma in the past 24 hours. And, I mean, we've got, it seems that the tectonic plates on the East Coast, the West Coast, and now, you know, of course, as we've talked about, the New Madrid fault line in the central area of the United States, it seems that all of our tectonic plate areas are all going into play at once. So, you know, all of the theories that are being thrown around out there, I think could be valid on this. The real honest thing is that none of us really know for sure. You know, we only kind of had to pick what we think the evidence best supports. And even though I think that a lot, oftentimes the evidence does support, and because we know they have things like HARP and all the rest of this, I don't think it's always the explanation for everything. But I find that that becomes a common thing within the research community, where it's like people just say, oh, it's HARP, they're causing earthquakes, that's it. And then that just shuts down the topic, or shuts down the research or looking into it at all. You know what I mean? I mean, think about that. If every time a strange earthquake happens, we just say it's HARP, and we don't look and dig into other possibilities, that leaves the door wide open for them to be manipulating us in other ways we're not even aware of. So I'm leery of anybody who, blames HARP on everything, as much as I am somebody who mentions that it's, you know, it doesn't exist, or they would never do that, or something of that nature. You see what I mean? I really don't know what to say, but I think that with what we talked about happening here with you know, the possibility of these, as Wernher von Braun had talked about, these extraterrestrials that are trying to get us to mend our ways as a species and stop using nuclear power and nuclear weapons and all this stuff, we're going to come and start challenging our way of life so we don't destroy ourselves. And they were going to tell us that they're hostile aliens, so we need to man against them. And this very well could be. I got an email from a listener that pointed something out, because I was talking about last night, you know, the Washington Monument. And it being cracked, and it seems like we've seen a lot of that in a lot of these extraterrestrial invasion movies, where some sort of, you know, national treasure or national monument gets, you know, blown up by the ETs, whether it be Independence Day or, blowing up the White House like they did in Independence Day, or whether it be any of these other movies where they've depicted this. And I thought, isn't that interesting, or wouldn't that be interesting if indeed these earthquakes and this power plant stuff is being caused by these extraterrestrials? Now, in that NASA report we talked about last week, that was one of the things they said, you know, these aliens would be environmentalist types. This is a very interesting thing. He says, hi, Josh, my name is Max, and I've been listening for a couple of months now and loving it. Yesterday, you talked about the cracks in the Washington Monument, which immediately threw me back to the first season of The Event, which, it's a spoiler, but get this, talks about good aliens that are locked up for over 60 years, and they don't seem to age. That sounds like the Anunnaki. As a result of it all, they decide to destroy mankind in order to make room on the planet for the rest of their kind, since their home planet is dying. Well, there you go. Anunnaki all the way across the board, right? Anyway, one of the major scenes toward the end of the season shows these aliens bring down the Washington Monument. Well, oh my God, there you go. I mean, I see, that's hard for me to deny right there. Because as I was talking about last night, you know, this stuff with them messing with our nuke plants, and I mean, this would be the perfect pretext. They come out and say, look, okay, you want to know why we've been having these earthquakes? You want to know why we've been having all these nuclear power plants fail? We've got, you know, just as our NASA report said, we've got these environmentalist whack job, lefty, Left wing, yes, ladies and gentlemen, environmental whack job, lefty, greeny meanies also come from a galaxy far, far away. We're here to tell you, we're the government. Believe us. So these environmental crazy left wing pinko commie extraterrestrials from the land before time, we've got to weaponize space and arm against them because, you know, they're trying to kill us because they hate us for our freedoms. So basically that's it. I thought I'd bring this up since you say you don't watch television. I myself still do. It's hard to quit, but I usually watch decent stuff and I can spot most of the BS and hidden agendas. Thanks for the show. Thanks for that vital info you share with us. It's highly appreciated worldwide. Well, thank you so much, Max. I appreciate the email there. That coupled with these news clips that were on MSNBC, various other outlets. I'll post a link to it in the chat room for you. At least six nuclear power plants have been reported unusual events after the Virginia earthquake. So goodness gracious, just as I talked about yesterday, I said, look, you're probably going to see a lot of reports coming out about strange occurrences and UFO sightings and stuff like that around Virginia, where they have these earthquakes. And sure enough, here it is. We've got at least six nuclear power plants reporting, quote unquote, unusual events. Unusual events after the earthquake. Between Fukushima and the UFOs over that and the rest, I think we've got an event here. I think we've got something going on. Somebody last night in the chat room was like, well, you don't think that that's the false flag? Well, no, that's not that. Well, yeah, that is the false flag, but you don't understand what they're trying to do here. The majority of the people in the research community and the truth movement, Patriot Movement, they are led themselves to believe that there is no such thing as extraterrestrials, and if there are, they're demonic entities, and that all UFOs and all craft that anybody has ever seen, even though there's documentation of this stuff being seen all over the world way before there was a military-industrial complex, that doesn't matter. They still say that any and all UFOs that you see are black op technology. And they say they're going to stage an alien invasion. They always throw in Project Blue Beam and confuse the staged alien invasion with Project Blue Beam. Even though if there was a staged alien invasion, which that's not what Dr. Wernher von Braun said, but that's the basis of everybody's facts on the idea that they're going to stage an alien invasion. It comes from the von Braun statement, but the von Braun statement is a bastardization of what he really said. So no, I don't believe they're going to use holograms. There's no evidence for that. There is no evidence that supports that they're going to use holograms to produce space aliens and spacecraft and everything and fake it and create. There's no evidence to support that. There's no documentation to support that whatsoever. And if you try to say, oh, well, Project Bluebeam doesn't say anything about that either. It says there would be mass UFO sightings around the world when they were getting ready to have the Bluebeam technology done that would, you know, beam these deities over all the countries of the world. It would then merge into one and tell us we've misinterpreted religions. It said that there would be mass UFO sightings all over the world as they were starting to test this technology. And I've got a friend who has been doing some observations of the sky and taking some very interesting pictures of things at night. And it's funny that what he's observed sort of coincides with that quite well. He said that these things that he's filmed, these like streaks of light and stuff at night, they seem to be learning. They get better at whatever their task is. But that's the predominant view. See, that's why, it's a false flag alien invasion. I don't know who cooked up that statement. It sounds like it came from Alex Jones, if you ask me. Only Alex Jones could put the term false flag and alien invasion together and make it sound legitimate. But we have no evidence to support the fact that they're going to stage an alien invasion at all. There is no evidence to support that. There is no statements or documentation from anybody that imply that that's what they're going to do. Because again, what Von Braun didn't say that. Von Braun said that they were going to tell us that extraterrestrials that were here trying to get us to end our reliance upon nuclear energy and nuclear weapons, we're going to start messing with those things to challenge our way of life. And then we were going to tell the people that those aliens were hostile so we would weaponize space against them. So let's look at it. If the majority of people in the Truth Movement, Patriot Movement, research community believe that all extraterrestrials are demonic entities, if they exist at all, if not, they're black op technology, and that the government is going to stage this using more black op technology, and they're going to get us all to want to fight extraterrestrials that are phony and not real, that they create. We weaponize space and blow up these alleged fake aliens. So what happens? Either way, again, I've said this before, I've got to say it again. Either way, you're getting people behind the same outcome. You see what I'm saying? If you're coming of the standpoint of what Von Braun talked about, because he got very scared when he talked about this, that these aliens that they're telling us are hostile are actually not hostile and are trying to help us, then that would seem to me what we need to be trying to expose. But what they do is they say, oh, no, it's a stage alien invasion. Well, what happens? And you've got the mainstream people who believe what they are told on TV, which is that these aliens are real, and they want to kill us, and they're hostile. What's everybody in the world's reaction going to be? Okay, let's do it. Let's arm against them. Let's create a new world order. Let's create space-based weapons, and let's take them out, right? Then you've got the people who are in the underground media and everything and the conspiracy theorists, and what's their predominant view? Their predominant view is that they're holograms. They're created by the government. It's a big, massive psyop and a hoax, and so it's all fake anyway, right? Right. So just, you know, hey, fuck it. Blow them out of the sky. They're all fake. Let's sit back and watch the show. That's what they say. Well, I don't care if they blow them out of the sky. It's all going to be holograms and fake anyway, so who cares? Well, wait a minute. You're still pushing for the same outcome, no matter if what you say is going to happen is contrary to what actually is happening or what they portray is happening on television. In Von Braun's explanation, and what I believe the actual reality of it is, somebody is getting blown up or shot at or killed or armed against or having a planet armed against them on a lie and a phony pretext. That's a problem. That's a problem. So that's why these guys who've been pushing this idea of the phony, of the false flag alien invasion, I hate that terminology. That is an absolute misnomer. It's an absolute lie. And all of you out there in the research community and the radio hosts and filmmakers, you need to correct yourself, do your research, figure out where you've made your mistake at, admit your mistake. I made that same mistake a few years ago. And quit repeating this crap, horse crap, about false flag alien invasion stuff. There is nothing to support that is an outcome. Yes, there is information to support that they are trying to convince us heavily that extraterrestrials are real. But that's so that they can keep things together and keep society from crumbling at the seams long enough so they can convince people that these extraterrestrials are a threat and get them to arm against them and band together with a world army, you know, Starship Trooper style. But if everybody's just hit with extraterrestrials, boom, they're real, instead of being slowly acclimated to it through movies like Transformers and Cowboys and Aliens and all these TV shows and Ancient Aliens on TV, slowly more people get acclimated to the idea and it doesn't seem as strange for them. So when the real thing happens, society doesn't completely unravel on itself, because if it did, then their plan would be for naught. So they absolutely have to make sure that we will take it mildly, and if people realize that there's some sort of outside threat that threatens the entire planet, not just individual countries, they've got us right where they want us. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Trying to see if I had any more emails I needed to cover. Somebody sent me an email and said that the Dow closed at 322 yesterday when all that stuff was going on. Isn't that something? This is from Andre. Andre says, hey, Josh, I was just going over some info on the Virginia quake. When my screen isn't busy somewhere else, I leave it on the quake monitoring site, realtimetools.de. I had it up when the Virginia quake hit, and the quake was first reported at negative 5,000 meters deep. 15 minutes into the depth reading, it went to negative 31,000 feet, and now this morning, the first quake is now showing at a depth of negative 100 meters. So they changed it from negative 5,000 meters deep to just 100 meters deep. There's all kinds of rumors going around about a nuclear detonation in Colorado and a nuclear detonation in Virginia, apparently at some other underground facilities there, being the cause of this. Now, don't quote me on that, because it could be disinfo. I'm just saying that's a rumor going around. I'm saying that that's factual and based in any factual. Again, it's just a rumor that I saw going around on the webs. Let's see here. Just listen to your William Bramley on YouTube. I read the book shortly after it came out. The Jesus stuff is outdated. The evidence, like the DMT comments you made, the evidence is overwhelming that he never existed. I don't want to give it away the info in this book. If you haven't done so yet, read Caesar's Messiah by Joseph Atwill. Go to Amazon and search for him on YouTube as well. Your assessment's very good. I agree with 95% of your comments. David in Houston. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. Somebody sent me some stuff about, we were talking, I'm reading from the Lost Book of Enki, which we'll try to do more of tonight as well. And we were talking about the Shar, which is a year, an Anunnaki year, I guess, on Nibiru. And person sent me something that was from, I guess they thought it was real info, but it was from Dungeons and Dragons. it's too funny. You got to check that info sometimes. Make sure you're not giving something away from D&D. She says, I'm aware it's from Dungeons and Dragons. I never played it, but it has a lot of truths in there about things. I wonder what else is in that game. I know they hide stuff that's true in video games. Didn't realize they did that with Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, yeah, everything. Everything science fiction. Everything. The entire science fiction genre, comic books, sci-fi movies, TV shows, all of that was created as fronts so that they could, in using a phrase that I termed several years ago, fictionalize the truth so that the truth seems like fiction. All the stuff that was all the technology they had in the original Star Trek series, all of that stuff came from Nazi weapons that they already had. Disintegrator rays and all that stuff. Shit you not. There was many books published on that. In fact, Richard Hoaxland, the researcher, was originally supposed to be the science advisor on that show, and he was summarily fired and replaced with one of Dr. Werner von Braun's paperclip Nazis brought over here after World War II. True story. So, you know, you had Gene Roddenberry, high-level Freemason, and then von Braun's paperclip Nazis advising for the stuff that, and according to many reports, they had all that technology already. Everything has been a fictionalization of stuff. I mean, look into Arthur C. Clarke. The guy invented geosynchronous satellite orbits, communication satellites. The idea that we could communicate using satellites at geosynchronous orbit was his idea in science fiction, and then he's credited with that. That being put into place. Hundreds of his inventions have come true, but science fiction has been for years. Because in order for people to not believe something, if you're trying to deceive people, one of the best ways you can do it is to first introduce something to them by telling them that this is fantasy and not real and is not based in any reality whatsoever, and it just came out of someone's imagination. Well, that's what they did for years and years and years to us. generationally with science fiction, with comic books, with all of this stuff, and it's grown and expanded into a whole geek culture. I wish these geeks that call themselves so-called geeks and nerds, you're not geeks and nerds if you don't know about information. Yeah, I come from the original generation of geeks and nerds, and if you're going to be a geek and a nerd, you have to be at least somewhat knowledgeable about information. These geeks and nerds are as fucking asleep as anybody are. They're not awake to what's really going on. Oh, they live in their fantasy land. Wake up and realize most of these clowns that fucking hang out at, anime cons and shit would shit themselves and have to wipe with a copy of some, manga Jap porn or something if they realize that most of the stuff they see in these stuff is actually based on real things. And they've created this so that if they introduce this stuff to us as fiction, if it's ever introduced to us in any way as fact, our brain will automatically cue on it and go, that's not true, that's based in science fiction, that's from this or whatever have you. That's what the X-Files was all about. I mean, there is tons of, if you're paying attention, there's tons of real factual stuff in the X-Files. They've been doing it with all of this. So that's been the whole tool, in my opinion, for science fiction. I've always been a sci-fi fan, so when I finally realized that, and I've tried to, I haven't found any science fiction yet that you can't parallel with, real information. It's unbelievable. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Neil Armstrong has urged a return to the moon to train for missions to Mars as the United States contemplates the future of its space program following the end of the shuttle era. Well, they we know now why they put it into mothballs. It's only just mere weeks after they put the space shuttles down, decommission them, and talk about, we can't go back to moon, all this. They start putting out reports on possible alien invasion scenarios. That's because we're moving into phase two now. Space-based weapons, near-Earth object mitigation, and PR campaign for the existence of extraterrestrials. That's what NASA's job is now. They're a PR firm, essentially. Boy, this week we have had some winners for articles. Oh man, did I lose that article? We've had some great titles this week. Several that ranked up there with some of the best article titles I've seen in a while. We had one Monday, we had one yesterday, and I had another one here. I've got to find it. Here it is. This is just fucking greatness. You guys ready for this? A quote-unquote sex-crazed loser. Let me read the title first. Semi-truck crashes into a Ohio adult... Semi-truck crashes into Ohio adult store to steal $800 vagina. Nazi lesbian hookers abducted by UFOs and forced into weight loss programs. Yet again, oh my God. Every night this week, we've had some winner. That's a winner. Semi-truck crashes into Ohio adult store to steal $800 vagina. Zing. A quote-unquote sex-crazed loser stole a semi-truck and crashed it into the adult mart in Brownhelm Township, Ohio on Monday. The man made off with an $800 vagina, described as a lifelike masturbator, complete with female genitalia with legs and buttocks. Gawker noted that a man crashed his car into the same store in 2009 to steal a less costly model. Well, we have obtained a link here that shows the model that this guy obtained, and I'd like to share it all with you, because you guys have to look at this. This is the funniest shit I've ever seen. Number one, this thing is just, it's like a torso. The back half of it, it's like, it's got some ass and some vag lips and a and Spanky's brown eye and some feet. And it's made, and it actually says on the little box here, fuck my ass and fuck my feet. So it's actually made, the feet have a little indention in them, so it's like a little cock holster. So you can get your swerve on with the feet of this. This is ingenious. No wonder this guy crashed into the fucking place to get this. He's like, have you seen that fucking thing? That thing jerks your feet off, dude. Look at that. Fuck yeah, I'm crashing my truck, and it was worth it. I'd do it again. Unbelievable. Well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and this guy's worried about fucking, you know, I gotta get that sex toy where I can have sex with them feet. Dude, if you can't pay some old wart-ridden sea hag down at the fucking truck stop $20 to let you stick your dick between her feet, and you got to go get an $800 sex toy, you got problems worse than the rest of our Americans and people worldwide here, my friend. My goodness gracious. Just go down to the fucking truck stop and get yourself a $10 handy or something. My God. Unfucking believable. You've always dreamed of fucking a long-legged beauty like this, so what are you waiting for? Take your fuck slut out of the box, push play on the hardcore DVD, get out the free lube, and pound that bitch till you fuck her, silly. I mean, no way. This guy must have read this description and was like, he didn't even have a truck to slam into it. He had to steal a truck first. He had to steal a truck he didn't have to slam into this fucking thing to specifically, what in the fuck is going on? Oh, don't mind me now. Just coming here to get this here. Be out of your way. Don't worry about it. That is, man. This is, we had some winter news articles this week, let me tell you. When the article on Discovery News here, should the East Coast worry about a tsunami? It's unlikely, but scientists say they cannot rule out an East Coast tsunami event. When a rare earthquake shook the northeastern United States yesterday, residents reacted with a mix of excitement, fear, panic, horror, and then lots of questions. Among the concerns was the possibility of a tsunami, even though yesterday's quake, for a variety of reasons, posed no threat of creating devastating waves. The question remains, could a seismic event someday spark a tsunami on the East Coast? Much like the ones that have devastated Japan, Indonesia, and other parts of the world in recent years. Not likely, but it's also not impossible, according to experts. For now, risk assessment is a challenging problem with so little historical evidence to work with. Scientists still don't have a good picture of exactly how plates and faults are structured beneath the East Coast, so it's unclear how frequently earthquakes are expected to strike there. That's baloney. That's baloney. They know where all these, they have the ground penetrating tomography and the ability to look in and see what all these plates are. That's total bullshit. Which makes me totally suspect of this article. Now, oh no, don't worry. I mean, they're telling you don't worry. There's a small chance there may be a tsunami in the East Coast, but there may not be. Yeah, that'd be alarm for me to worry. If you live on the East Coast, you might want to think about moving inland. That seems to be what everybody's doing. Everybody's getting away the fuck away from the coast, man. 7.0 magnitude quake in Peruvian Amazon as well. It's just everywhere. Five things the media isn't telling you about human activity in earthquakes. This is interesting because they're already rolling out articles as well saying that that this could be, these earthquakes could be the result of fracking because of how shallow they are. And that's, you know, that's a very real possibility. But I think because of how many we're seeing, how much seismic activity we're seeing going on all over the place, not just in areas where they are doing fracking, you know, I'm afraid that this might be another red herring. Maybe that's why they allowed that movie to become, didn't Gasland get nominated for an Academy Award or something like that? most of the time, if something's that dangerous to the establishment, they don't allow a movie like that to get that much play. So maybe that's what that movie was for. Maybe that movie was created to get us all up in a tizzy about fracking and stuff so they could use this as the perfect front for these earthquakes. I don't know. Again, something to bear in mind, something to think about, just so we don't get another one pulled over on us. Yeah, I've already read that one. Five earthquakes, five aftershocks. I still can't get over the $800 vagina, though. Shortly before midnight mountain time on August 23rd, the largest earthquake in Colorado in more than a century, with a magnitude of 5.3 cent tremors as far away as Kansas. Some 12 hours later, a magnitude 5.8 earthquake centered in Northern Virginia sent shockwaves as far away as Toronto. The local damage in each event did not appear extensive, though structural effects on bridges, tunnels, nuclear power plants, and more are yet to be determined. Through the afternoon and evening of August 23rd, the national media uncovered the big story of the East Coast quake, where their colleagues posted in New York or Washington were and what they thought when they felt a bump, sway, rumble, or funny feeling. But with no national correspondents already on site, the Colorado quake was left to the locals. Both quakes were profound, rippling with far-reaching lessons about our outdated and unsafe energy practices that we all ignore at great peril. Number one, human activity can cause earthquakes. No less an authority than the U.S. Geological Survey asserts this, and they offer as an illustration a series of atypical Colorado quakes in the 1960s resulting from the Army's injection of waste fluid product produced at its Rocky Mountain Arsenal chemical weapons plant northeast of Denver. Aha, see? Number two, seismic activity has been linked to the injection of wastewater from the unconventional production of natural gas using hydraulic fracturing, also known as fracking. A southeastern New Mexico area that has been experiencing repeated earthquakes since the late 1990s are near the injection wells for oil production wastewater. The New Mexico Tech Observatory has reported, in April 2011 in Arkansas, two natural gas wells were closed down until scientists can determine why over 1,000 unexplained earthquakes occurred in areas near drilling sites and waste injection wells. Since the wells closing, a supervisor at the Arkansas Geological Survey reports, incidents of earthquakes have declined dramatically, much as they did in Colorado 50 years ago. So there's a good chance that this could be natural. There's a good chance this could be not HARP related. There's a good chance this could be not extraterrestrial related. There's a good chance this could all be just a red herring to cover up for that. Again, you know, I just want to put it all out there on the table. That's more important to me than and everybody picking a side of what they, you know, set in stone believe right now, because the fact is none of us know for sure. Number three, the petroleum industry is resistant to taking into account scientific and historical data. In late summer 2001, a swarm of earthquakes occurred near a fracking wastewater injection wells outside of Trinidad, Colorado, and the U.S. Geological Survey had not ruled out that the wells were the cause. The epicenter of the August 22nd Colorado quake was Trinidad. The Trinity, the capital of Los Animas County, the vastest county in Colorado, and for over a decade, the hotbed of the state's most extensive fracking operations, including the unconventional cobalted methane extraction. Los Animas was one of seven locations in the U.S. where the EPA announced that it will launch a study to determine the impacts of hydraulic fracturing, focusing on Los Animas drinking water, but local groups say the physical stability of the region could be at risk. Number four, nuclear plants, which lie on fault lines, intensify the risk of earthquakes. With Japan's nuclear catastrophe on the public radar, the nuclear power industry has been quick to assure that American reactors have been built to resist such seismic events. Right, but they also reported that the earthquake detection systems on the Virginia power plant were non-existent, not there, because just a few months ago they got eliminated because of budget cuts. So then shortly after the budget cuts, we have an earthquake situation there? I mean, again, I always want you to believe in these massive coincidences. The coincidences turn out to be the hoaxes. And it says that the North Anna nuclear power plant, less than 20 miles from the Virginia quake, shut down automatically, venting a small amount of steam, but no radioactive material, according to a plant spokesperson. But one reactor is already not functioning, and the others are running on diesel. As early as 1973, plant owners knew that a fault line ran under the reactors and covered it up. The plant was built amid a mudslide and rock falls and clear signs of geological instability. Well, there's a lot of people believe in the, you know, the expanding Earth theory, and that these the type of things like we're seeing happening now have to do with the ever-expanding Earth, and this is why, you know, in the past there were we had what we call Pangea and all these things connected together, and as the Earth expanded, they ripped apart and spread apart, and that's, you know, continuing to happen. A lot of people believe that. And I think it was back in July, the temperature in the Gulf of Mexico raised to, like, I don't know, like 100-something degrees, which is hotter than, way hotter than life can be sustained in. And there's been some theories going around about this is because the magma under the Earth is pushing out and the Earth's expanding, and that's what's causing all these earthquakes. It very well could be. Number five, industry often seeks to keep information and historical data private. The epicenter of Virginia's earthquake lies on the Marcellus Shale, though no hydraulic fracturing permits have been issued due to a legal suit by the Southern Environmental Law Center. The center considers the George Washington National Forest, much of which lies above the Marcellus, among the 10 most endangered in the South due to hydraulic fracturing plans for the area. A half century of lessons from Colorado's history with fluid injection and earthquakes will be essential to safeguard the integrity of Virginia's fragile and ecologically essential Marcellus region. But while Virginia's Marcellus has not been fracked yet, the Commonwealth has been in the forefront of coal bed methane extraction, which, like shale bed extraction, depends on hydraulic fracturing, horizontal drilling, blasting, explosions, and the injection of wastewater under the earth. And very well that maybe that's maybe this is a part of that. But if you think these guys are going to let something like little green men interfere with their grand plan, you got another thing coming. They'll just tell us they hate us for our freedoms, and, you know, this is galactic Al-Qaeda that's coming to kill us because we're Christians, and everybody will be like, really? I knew them Al-Qaeda rug rabbers were out there in space, too. Let's kill them all. That's how dumb people are. Speaking of how dumb people are, this has got to be the, this takes the cake as far as, you know, like I said, I try to put all the theories out on the table. Try to let people decide for themselves what's what, you know, give everybody a fair shake. So in the spirit of giving everybody a fair shake, here's another point of view on the cost of these earthquakes. Okay, you know, just in case. I want to give everybody a fair shake. Here we go. You ready for this? NOM NOM speaker blames East Coast earthquake on the gays. Well, that's a right. I'd love to see. I want to hear this. So the gays were the reason why there was an earthquake in Virginia. Oh, well, Jesus Christ. I'm glad you guys explained that to me. Fuck. I would never have thought that. So guys doing each other in the butt caused the earthquake, huh? Within hours of an earthquake striking the eastern U.S. Tuesday, a rabbi that has spoken for the anti-gay group National Organization for Marriage was already blaming homosexuals. In a video posted to YouTube, Rabbi Yehuda Levin, Jesus, I got one for you, buddy. They asserted that one of the reasons God brings earthquakes to the world is because of the transgressions of homosexuality. So there you go. We'd like to give everybody a fair shake. So in case you were still forming your theory on how this earthquake was created, well, and you know, they were running drills on this stuff back in what, March? I know in May they were running all the drills for the New Madrid fault line. Vigilant Guardian, all that. I think they had another one called Vibrant Response that was on these same kind of nuclear power plants and earthquakes and all this stuff. They've been drilling for this stuff all year. Oh, man, that's too funny. Trying to see what else we have here news-wise tonight. Senator John McCain promised to help former Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi obtain U.S. military hardware as one of the United States partners in the new war on terror, according to a U.S. diplomatic cable released Wednesday. That's too funny. So, yeah, they yet again proved more that we've funded more of our alleged enemies now, only to have to go and destroy those same enemies we funded over and over and over again. People still fall asleep about it. Never pay attention. Now, this is interesting in light of all this, you know, possible alien activity going on with the nuclear plants and all this. An unmanned freighter launched to the International Space Station has been lost. Lost? Where did it go? How can you lose something like that? The Russian space agency said the Progress cargo ship was not placed in the correct orbit and its rocket fell back to Earth. The vessel was carrying 3 tons of supplies for the International Space Station astronauts. Now, come on. Oh, they didn't get the orbit right, so it fell out. I mean, you know, they've been doing this a while. They know this kind of stuff is all computer controlled nowadays. You think it's just a hit or miss affair on putting a cargo ship or something of that nature in orbit? Oh, let's hope we get it right. Oh, we didn't know it fell to Earth and people died. Oh, who cares? No. Placing a spacecraft into orbit is all meticulous. It's all done by computers. And there's no way a mishap like this could happen unless there was extraneous circumstances that happened. This is a cover-up. This is a cover story. I know a cover story when I see it, and this is a fucking cover story. With the retirement of the U.S. space shuttle, there's now a critical reliance on robotic freighters to keep the station supplied. Right. And so, you know, at every turn, oh, well, now the U.S. doesn't have a space program. Well, how quickly would NASA be infused with cash if we were told there were aliens coming to invade us tomorrow? Yeah, about that quick. Yeah, about that quick. Oh, what else do I have? This is a strange article. German women seek pure Aryan blood men in India. Nobody knows the real origin or if they're indeed Aryans, but regarded as long-lost members of a purebred master race, settled in the Himalayas, oh yeah, like the Ascended Masters. Brokpas attracts curious visitors, some who tried to satisfy their fantasy of having pure Aryan babies. In 2007, filmmaker Sanjeev Sivan released his documentary Octung Baby in search of purity on the phenomenon of German women traveling to the Indian villages by the line of control in Kashmir to get impregnated by men they believe to be racially pure Aryans. Unbelievable. I need to see that movie. Wow. These villages are inhabited by a tribe called Brokpas, who are rumored to be the last pure specimens of the Aryan race. Across the world, several people still regard Aryans as the master race, tall, blue-eyed blondes endowed with superior intelligence and values. While Brokpa folklore says that the community arrived here from Gilgit in Pakistan, just across the Yellow Sea, there is a view that they are actually descendants of Alexander the Great's army, whose Genghis Khan-like sexual proliferation is a matter of legend. Much Greek DNA is said to exist in North India even today. What marks Brokpas out, however, is that they have lived isolated lives for centuries in such an inaccessibly harsh terrain that they seem to have kept their DNA untainted by outsiders, thus the tantalizing prospect of purity. So apparently people are going here trying to mate with these pure-blooded Aryans. It's probably what they use for, the elite use for brood mares. Wouldn't surprise me. They have a little village where they, you know, pump out brood mares to keep the bloodlines going. Wouldn't surprise me for a second. Crazy stuff. Well, we're going to take a break, come back, and get into the Lost Book of Inky for you tonight. Love to have emails from me as well. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com if you want to get an email in tonight here on the broadcast. Somebody drop me the page number in the chat room when you get a chance so I can figure out what page we're going to pick up on tonight. But we'll take a break, come back, and get into more for you here tonight. This is The Global Reality. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
Natural selection.
Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. My website where this broadcast originates is www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. There at the website, on the right-hand side of the page, on pretty much any page you go to, we have a chip-in banner. That's for the bills for the month. Everything's coming up due next month, next week for the month. And we also have the donate button there. The donate button can be used to donate any amount you want, from a small amount to a large amount. If you know, if you're somebody out there who, you know, has the resources to be able to, you know, donate, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever you have, $500, whatever. Those kind of larger donations go a long way towards helping us get new equipment, better things to make everything look better and sound better. And, you know, we got people out there giving people like Ron Paul $1.6 million for something they know in their hearts in the end is going to wind up and be exactly like it was that last time. You know, so save your money this go around and, you know, that you donate to these phony politicians and donate it towards actually getting some real information out here in this world. We need support more than anybody. These guys that we're going up against have limitless resources. Some days I wonder, you know, where my meal of the day is going to come from. So we need people dedicating themselves to wanting to support people like myself who are trying to get out alternative information on these hucksters and people who are enemies in our midst, man. Plain and simple. Put there to steer people who are naturally coming into information because of this natural awakening going on and hijacking it, steering it back towards their agenda. That's what the entire phony patriot and truth movement's been designed to do from day one. So when you support our work, you support our ability to be able to get that out there to more people. And so please, we haven't got that much in this week and at all. So please donate and support our work if you can. We also have a P.O. Box there. You know, the P.O. Boxing has been totally a disappointment as well. Just like it was when I tried having phones for a while. Everybody was, oh, you need to have phones. You need to have phones, take phone calls, blah, blah, blah. And all hundreds of emails about that. Got phone calls, had the phones for months. Nobody ever called in. I've been told 100 times so the past 2 or 3 years, get a P.O. Box. If you get a P.O. Box, you'll get so many more donations. You'll have a treasure trove going like Ron Paul got, blah, blah, blah. All these people saying all this stuff. And man, to be honest with you, I think when it comes, when the P.O. Box thing comes up due again, I don't know if I'm going to renew it or not, because we have not gotten in a significant amount of cash to justify it being there. When people said they were going to send big checks, and we've again gotten more than, I think the biggest check we have, the only check that we got, we had one guy send a money order, for like $20. One person sent cash, but we had one check. It was like $40. And, which is, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not that, but it's the fact that I got email after email from people saying, you know, if you get this PO box thing going, we're going to donate big amounts and all this stuff. And, I quit checking it very much now because we just hadn't been getting anything in there. So that's disappointing, you know, because I had to go spend money out of my pocket. And I had to do without a meal for a day, literally, to get that P.O. Box thing going. And it's just turned out to not be worth it. And that, you know, it's hard enough doing this, you know. Let's get into Lost Book of Inky here tonight. Now this is the account of why in the far away a new chariot's place was built. And the love of Dumuzi and Inanna that Marduk by Dumuzi's death disrupted. It was after the contesting of Horon and Satu and their aerial battle over Tilmun that Enlil summoned a council of his three sons. With concern of what was happening to them, he talked about, in the beginning, the earthlings in our image and after our likeness we made. Now the Anunnaki offspring in the image and likeness of earthlings became. Ah, there's the conundrum. They made us like them, and then we became, they became us, essentially. Then it was Cain who killed his brother. Now, a son of Marduk, his brother, is killed. For the first time ever, an Anunnaki offspring from Earthlings raised an army. Weapons from metal of the Anunnaki, a secret, in their hands he placed. From the days when by the Alalu and the Anzu, our legitimacy was challenged. Disruption and rule-breaking by the Agigi continued. Now the beacon peaks in the domain of Marduk are located. The landing place by the Agigi is held. Now toward the place of the chariots, the Agigi are advancing. The name of Satu to all the heaven-earth facilities they claim will lay. So Enlil did say to his three sons to take countersteps to them. He proposed an alternative heaven-earth facility we must establish in secret. Let it be in the Nerta's lands beyond the ocean, in the midst of trusted earthlings come to be. Thus was the secret mission in the hands of Ninurta entrusted. In the mountain lands beyond the oceans beside the Great Lake, a new bond of heaven and earth he was setting up, and within it he placed an enclosure. At the foot of the mountain where the gold nuggets were scattered, a plain with firm ground he chose, and he made markings on it for ascent and descent. Primitive are the facilities, but the purpose they will serve. So did Ninurta to his father Enlil in good time declare. From there, the gold shipments to Nibiru can continue, and there will be, and from there, in need, we too can ascend. At that time, what as a blessed event began as a horrible occurrence ended. At that time, Dumuzi, Enki's youngest son, to Inanna, Nannar's daughter, took a liking. Inanna, Enlil's granddaughter, by the Lord of Herding, was captivated. A love that knows no bounds engulfed them. A passion inflamed in their hearts. Many of the love songs that for a long time thereafter were sung, Inanna and Dumuzi were the first to sing them. And by song, they recounted their love. To Dumuzi, his youngest son, Enki, allotted a large domain above the Abzu. Maluha, the Black Land, was its name. Highland trees there grew and waters abundant. Large bulls roamed among its rivers and greatly numbered were its cattle. That sounds like Texas. That's what we have up in the area of North Texas where I live. It's the Black Land Prairie. And they talk about highlands and, you know, highland trees and all the areas in Dallas where, like, the rich people live. It's called Highland Park. It's not too far from where George Bush Jr. lives. And hell yeah, you know, we got a bunch of cattle down here in Texas. Fuck. Large bulls among its river reeds roamed. Greatly numbered were its cattle. Silver from its mountains came. Its copper bright as gold was a glitter. Greatly beloved was Dumuzi by Enki after the death of Asar. He was favored. Of his youngest brother, Marduk, he was jealous. Inanna, by her parents, Nannar and Ningal, was beloved. And Enlil sat by her cradle. Beautiful beyond describing she was, in martial arts with the Anunnaki heroes she competed. Of journeys in the heavens and of celestial boats, she learned from her brother Utu. A skyship of her own to roam in Earth skies, the Anunnaki presented to her. After the deluge on the landing platform, Dumuzi and Inanna set their eyes on each other. At the dedication of the artificed mounds, they had a warm encounter between them. At first, they were hesitant. He of Enki's clan, she of Enlil, an offspring. When in Arshak for peace, the disputing clans were brought together. Inanna and Dumuzi managed to get away from the others and professed their love to each other. As they went strolling together, sweet words of alluring love, they said to each other. Side by side, they laid down. One heart with what the other heart chatted. Uh-oh, I think we're about to have some semen pouring going on in some wombs. Around her waist, Amuzi put his arm like a wild bull to take her, he wished. Let me take you. Let me teach you. To Inanna, Amuzi said, yeah, he's going to teach you, all right. Gently, she kissed him, and then to him of her mother, she spoke. What fib could I tell my mother? What words will you tell Ningal? Let us tell my mother of our love, of joy, cedar perfume she will sprinkle on us. To the dwelling place of Ningal and Anna's mother, the lovers went. To them, Ningal gave her blessing. Of Dumuzi, the mother of Inanna, approved. Lord Dumuzi, as son-in-law of Nannar, you are worthy to him, she said. Dumuzi, as bridegroom by Nannar himself, was welcomed. Inanna's brother Utu said, let it be so. Perchance the espousing peace between the clans truly will bring. Enlil said to them all. When of the love and betrothaled Dumuzi to his father and brother spoke, Enki of peace through espousal was also thinking, and he gave his blessing also to Dumuzi. Dumuzi's brothers, all except Marduk, were joyful about the espousal. A betrothal bed of gold by Gibble was fashioned. Nurgle blue-hued lapis stones were sent. Sweet dates, a fruit favored by Inanna, was placed in piles beside the bed. Under the fruits, the beads of lapis they hid for Inanna to discover. As the custom was to perfume and clothe Inanna, a sister of Dumuzi was sent. Geshtinanna, a sister-in-law-to-be, was her name. To her, Inanna revealed what was in her heart. Of her future with Dumuzi, she said to her, a vision of a great nation I have. As a great Anunnaki, Dumuzi will rise. His name shall be exalted over others. His queen spouse I shall be. Princely status we will share. Rebellious countries together we shall subdue. To Dumuzi, I will give his country the status, and I will rightly direct it. Inanna's vision of rulership and glory by Geshtinanna to her brother Marduk were reported. By Inanna's ambitions, Marduk was greatly disturbed. To Geshtinanna, a secret plan, he told. To her brother Dumuzi, to the herder's dwelling, Geshtinanna went. Lovely to behold and perfumed to her, brother Dumuzi thus said, before with your young wife in your embrace with you will sleep. A legitimate heir by a sister born you must have. Inanna's son to succession shall not be entitled. On your mother's knees he will not be raised. She put his hand in her hand. She pressed her body against his body. Uh-oh. My brother, with you I will lie down. Bridegroom, with you a peer of Enki we shall have. So did Geshtinanna to Dumuzi whisper, a noble issue from her womb to have. Here we go. In her womb. In her womb, Dumuzi poured the semen. By her caressing, he fell asleep. During the night, Dumuzi had a dream, a premonition of death he envisioned. In the dream, seven evil bandits he saw coming into his dwelling. The master has sent us for you, son of Dutur, they said to him. They chased away his ewes, his lambs, and they drove away the kids. The headdress of lordship they took off his head, and they tore the royal robe off of his body. The staff of shepherding they took and broke. His cup from its peg they threw down. Naked and barefooted they seized him, in fetters they bound his hands. In the name of the princely bird and the falcon, they left him dying. Disturbed and startled, Dumuzi, in the middle of the night, awoke and told his dream to Gestiana. The dream is not favorable, Gestiana said to the distraught Dumuzi. Marduk will accuse you of raping me, and he will send evil towards you. To try you and disgrace you, he will order the liaison with Inlalite to disunite. As a wounded beast, Dumuzi roared out a cry. Betrayal, betrayal, he shouted. To Utu, Inanna's brother, help me. He sent word, the name of his father, Enki, as a talisman he uttered. Through the desert of Imush, the snake's desert, Dumuzi rushed to escape. To the place of mighty waterfalls from the evildoers, he ran to hide. Where the gushing waters made the slippery rocks slip, made the rock slippery smooth, Dumuzi slipped and fell. The onrushing waters swept his lifeless body away in a white froth. Evil emissaries to arrest you. Now, this is the account of Inanna's descent into the lower Abzu. As the great Anunnaki war and how Marduk in the Akur alive was imprisoned. When the lifeless body of Dumuzi from the Great Lakes water was retrieved by Ningal, the body was brought to the abode of Nergal and Ereshkigal in the lower Abzu. They placed on a stone slab the dead body of Dumuzi. When word of what happened was sent to Enki, Enki rent his clothes. On his forehead, he put ashes. My son, for Dumuzi he lamented. What have I sinned to be so punished? Out loud he asked. When I to earth from Nibiru came, Ea, he whose home is waters, was my name. With waters did the celestial chariots obtain their thrust power. In waters I splashed down. Then by an avalanche of waters, the earth was swept over. In waters did Asar, my grandchild, drown. By waters, my beloved Dumuzi is now dead. Everything I had done for righteous purpose, did I do it? Why am I punished, and why has fate turned against me? So Enki did bewail and lament. When from Gestiana the veracity of occurrences was discovered, greater was Enki's agony. Now Marduk, my firstborn, for his deed will also suffer. By the disappearance and death of Dumuzi was Inanna worried and then grieved. Then to the lower Abzu she hurried. For burial, she went to retrieve Dumuzi's body for burial. When Ereshkigal, her sister, was told of the arrival of Inanna at the precinct's gates. Ereshkigal suspected a devious scheme on the part of Inanna. At each of the seven gates, one of Inanna's accoutrements and weapons was removed from her. Then, unclothed and powerless before Ereshkigal's throne, of a scheming of an heir, Nergal, Dumuzi's brother, she was accused. Trembling with fear, Ereshkigal, to her sister's explanations, would not listen. Let loose against her the 60 diseases. Ereshkigal, her vizier, Namatar, ordered in anger. By the disappearance of Inanna in the lower Abzu, her parents were much worried. Nannar went to Enlil with the matter. And Enlil sent a message to Enki. From Nergal, his son, Ereshkigal's spouse, Enki, had learned what had happened. From clay of the Abzu, Enki fashioned two emissaries, beings without blood and by death rays unharmed. To the lower Abzu, he sent them to bring Inanna back, whether alive or dead. when before Ereshkigal they came, Ereshkigal was puzzled by their appearance. Are you Anunnaki? Are you Earthlings? With bewilderment, she asked them. She didn't know what these things are. Namtar directed magical weapons of power against them, but unharmed the two were. To the lifeless body of Inanna, he took them, hanging from a stake she was. Upon the corpse, the clay emissaries directed a pulsar and an emitter. Then the water of life they sprinkled on her, and in her mouth the plant of life they placed. Then Inanna stirred, her eyes she opened. From the dead, Inanna arose. When the two emissaries, Inanna to the upper world, were ready to return, Inanna, the lifeless body of Dumuzi, ordered them to take along with them. At the seven gates of the lower Abzu to Inanna, her accoutrements and attributes were returned. To the boat of Dumuzi in the Black Land, the rover of her youth, she ordered the emissaries to take her, to wash him with pure water and anoint him with sweet oil, then to clothe him in a red shound and lay him upon a slab of lapis. Then in the rocks for him a rest place carve out, there to await the day of the arising. See, they've highlighted that. There in the rocks for him a rest place to carve out, the day of arising there to await. They're alluding this to being like, you know, what happened to Christ. Right? They put him up on the cross, and they put him in this, you know, rock place, and then a couple of days later he came out. So that's a, yeah, that's another indicator that Jesus, if he did exist, was most likely one of these Anunnaki guys coming down and setting himself up as, you know, the Messiah. Because as it says here, these Anunnaki guys turned to be to human-like, right? So they still basically had the, because of the different inbreeding, they still had the traits of the Anunnaki, but they were, you know, human-sized and looked like us, but they were still very much Anunnaki. And that's more than likely what Jesus was, according to, now that we're looking at this. You know, he was just one of those, it wasn't setting himself up as gods anymore, because they weren't giants and the rest of it. They looked like normal mortal men, but they set themselves up as messiahs that had, you know, traits and abilities that were beyond what mere mortal men have. Very interesting. As for herself, Inanna set her steps to the abode of Enki. Retribution for her beloved's death she wanted, and she wanted demanded the death of the culprit of the death of Marduk. There has been death enough, Enki said to her. Marduk was an instigator, but a murderer he committed not. When Inanna learned that Marduk would not be punished by Enki, Inanna went to her parents and brother. To high heaven, she raised a wailing. Justice, revenge, death to Marduk, she cried for. At Enlil's abode, his sons Inanna and Utu joined a council of war they gathered. Ninurta, whom the rebel Anzu defeated, argued for strong measures. Of secret words between Marduk and the Agigi were exchanged, and Utu reported to them. Of Marduk, an evil serpent, earth must be rid. Enlil agreed with them. When the demand for Marduk's surrender to Enki was sent to his father, Enki to his abode summoned Marduk and all other sons. Though for my beloved Dumuzi I am still grieving, Marduk's rights I must defend. Though evil did Marduk instigate by ill fate, not by Marduk's hand did Dumuzi die. Marduk is my firstborn. Ninki is his mother. For secession, he is destined. From death by Dinurta's gang, by us all, he must be protected. So Enki did say. Only Gibble and Ningal heeded their father's call. Ningazita was opposed. Nurgle was hesitant. Only if in mortal danger he will be, will I help, he said. It was after that a war of ferocity unknown between the two clans erupted. Unlike the contending of Horon and Satu, of Earthlings descended, it was a battle between Anunnaki, Nibirian born among them, on another planet was loose. By Inanna was the warfare begun in her skyship to the domains of Enki's son she crossed over. Yeah, well, there you go. Sorry, ladies, but it's always a bitch's fault. Marduk to battle she challenged to the domains of Ningal and Gibel she pursued. To assist her, Ninurta. Yeah, see, they've always blamed wars on men. And see, I've always known it was these fucking females behind the scenes that were always starting shit. Women always start wars, and then the guys always get the blame for it. I'm sorry, I have to say that. It's the goddamn truth. To assist her, Ninurta, from his Stormbird, withering beams, he shot withering beams at the enemy stronghold from his Stormbird, from the fucking Klingon bird of prey. Fire! Ishkar from the skies with scorching lightnings and smashing thunders attacked. In the Abzu from the rivers, he washed fish away, and he dispersed cattle in the fields. To the north, to the place of the artificed mounds, Marduk then retreated. Pursuing him, Ninurta, on his habitations, rained down poison-bearing missiles. His weapon that tears apart the people in those lands robbed of their senses. The canals that waters rivers bore from red blood came. Ishkar's brilliances the night's darkness into flaming days converted. As the devastating battles advanced northward, Marduk in the Ikur was ensconced. Gibel had devised an unseen shield. Nurgle raised to heaven its all-seeing eye. So this is some sort of shield or a weapon that they're calling an all-seeing eye. Isn't that interesting? With a weapon of brilliance by a horn directed, Inanna attacked the hiding place. Horon, to defend his grandfather, came. By her brilliance, his right eye was damaged. Right nuclear weapons, I suppose. While Utu and their horde, the Agigi and the Earthlings beyond Tilman, held off. At the foot of the Artifice Mounds, Anunnaki, this and that clan supporting in battle, clashed. Let Marduk surrender, let the bloodshed end, so did Enlil convey words to Enki. Let brother to brother talk. To Enki, Ninarshag sent a message. In his hideout within the Akur, Marduk continues to defy his pursuers. Within the house, which, like a mountain, is his final stand to be made. Inanna deflected her weapons. Inanna, the massive stone structure, could not surmount. Its smooth sides, her weapons deflected. Then Ninurta learned of a secret entrance, the swivel stone on the north side, he found. Through a dark corridor, Ninurta passed the grand gallery he reached. In the vault, by the many-hued emissions of the crystals, like a rainbow, was a glitter. Inside, by the intrusion alerted, Marduk was ready with weapons. Ninurta awaited. With weapons responding, smashing the wonder crystals, Ninurta kept going up the gallery. Into the upper chamber, the place of the great pulsating stone, Marduk retreated. At its entrance, Marduk lowered the sliding stone locks from one and barred admission from everyone else. Into the Akur, Inanna and Ishkar, Ninurta followed. What to do next, they contemplated. Let the encased hiding chamber be Marduk's stone coffin to them, Ishkar said. To three blocking stones, ready for downgliding, Ishkar drew their attention. Let slow death by alive being buried be Marduk's sentence. Inanna gave her consent. At the end of the gallery, let loose the three blocking stones. Each one of them slid down one stone for plugging the hole. Marduk is sealed in as a tomb. Now, this is the account of how Marduk was saved and to exile departed, and how Ikur was dismantled and lordship over the lands was rearranged. So, bottom of 258, starting at into 259, 259. That'll be where we'll pick up next time. And it continues to get interesting. We're going to have to figure out what we're going to read next after this. More and more biblical correlations, and we're seeing where these real stories in the Bible are coming from thousands of years before biblical times. And, you know, I've known this for a lot of years, but a lot more people are now starting to figure this out due to listening to the show and hearing the stuff on YouTube and reading it. So that's great. I'm glad to see that people are finally starting to figure this out. We're going to leave it there tonight. My website for this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. I got to get back to working on this film, probably pulling on an all-nighter. Ugh. Man, I'm going to need a fucking vacation after this movie's done. I'll tell you what. Ugh. I'm just beat. Please support our work if you can. Theglobalreality.com, chipping banner, donate button. Please support us if you can. I got to eat, live, and survive, and this is my livelihood, folks, and it's been kind of slow this week, so support us if you can. My name's Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great one. Take care.